Dear Lord God, we pray this morning that you would speak to us through your word, Lord. We pray that you continue to keep showing us from your word how we can have confidence in Jesus. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. I'm sure there's some passionate sports fans here, whether it's rugby league, union, AFL, or tennis or golf even. I'm sure there's some people here that, you know, you've always followed the same team or player. Or maybe if you're not even that into sport, you can still imagine the sort of person I'm talking about. You know, the one that's always got at least one piece of their team's clothing on. They're always talking about it, and sometimes you can even tell just by their mood whether their team's had a win or a loss. But imagine if they just suddenly swapped teams, started supporting a different team. It would sort of redefine them a bit, wouldn't it? To go from being passionate about one team to start wearing a different team's shirt instead. Well, today as we look at Luke chapter 6, we're going to see that Jesus does some redefining. He redefines God's people, who they are and what they look like. We're going to look at it in three parts. We're going to look at the new people of God, what they look like and what they don't look like, and then finally, why it's worth being redefined. The new people of God, what they look like and don't look like, and why it's worth being redefined. So let's jump into the new people of God. Our passage starts this morning with Jesus going up a mountain and spending the night praying to God. He then calls his disciples around him, a group of his followers, and he appoints 12 of them to be apostles. Let's read from verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. He spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Jesus choosing 12 here is quite significant. If we think back to the start of the Bible in the books of Genesis and Exodus, God chooses the 12 tribes of Israel to be his chosen people, his chosen nation, his very own. But unfortunately, time and time again in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, Israel turn away from God. They're a sinful people and they don't follow him. This was quite a significant thing for the Jews that would have been listening to Jesus, because Jesus was saying that it's no longer your family line that has anything to do with being part of God's people, but that Jesus is the new way and the only way into God's people. Jesus was doing something new. He was calling a new 12. It's not Israel or the Jews anymore. It's Jesus, and he's the only way to get into God's people. Jesus continues to explain what this new people of God is going to look like, and also actually what they won't look like. Jesus and his disciples come down from the mountain, and there's a large crowd that's gathered. They've come to hear Jesus, hear his teaching, and be healed. Jesus then gives a sermon that's directed at his disciples. Let's read from verse 20. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and when they insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will weep and mourn. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. We get two contrasting types of people here. I think it's helpful to look at these two descriptions as two sort of separate character profiles, rather than just looking at them as single sentences. On one side, in verses 20 to 22, this is the kind of person you can expect to be like in the new people of God. Someone who doesn't have a lot, is not very satisfied, is sad and feels the weight of all kinds of things that a lot of people just don't even care about. They'll be excluded and insulted. The poor here are aware of living in a sinful world and their need to be rescued. I think the last line here is really important. Because of the Son of Man, they will live redefined lives because of Jesus. They recognize their need to have him in their life. And while that might mean this life won't be that great, they can look forward to a great reward in heaven. And on the other side, we see in verses 24 to 26, this is the type of person who doesn't take Jesus seriously. This is what the new people of God won't look like. We see someone who is well-liked, who is rich, who is satisfied, enjoying the things of this life, away from Jesus. Jesus explains these two very different lives, one reliant on him and living a life redefined by him, and one living away from Jesus, seeking the pleasures of this world. This idea of being disliked and poor as a follower of God would have been somewhat familiar to the disciples listening. They would have known how God's prophets from the Old Testament were treated like this, and how it was the false prophets that were the ones that were treated well. They were well-liked and had a good life. What is new and different here is the idea that this new people of God will be centered around Jesus, and their lives will be redefined by him. Jesus paints a very clear picture here of what his followers can expect from this world and how they can live in it. Jesus' words here call us to completely rethink what it means to live here and now. The default state of our heart is to grab hold of and love whatever comfort and whatever we find pleasing in this life. But Jesus warns us that if we make ourselves at home here, we are heading for disastrous consequences. But living life with our eyes fixed on Jesus, we can look forward to great reward. I was reading this book written by Mike McKinley while I was writing this talk, and he said something that really struck me. It should just come up on the screen here. He said, "Jesus does not imagine a situation where a person can enjoy both present pleasures of this world and also in the joys of the next world." It really sat with me and made me think, where am I finding joy in this world that's distracting me from Jesus? What about you? Is there something that comes to mind when you think about finding joy outside of Jesus? We need to be really careful not to let the present pleasures of this world distract us from Jesus. Jesus finishes his sermon with a parable, the parable of the wise and foolish builder. It offers some comfort as to why it's worth redefining your life on Jesus and keeping your eyes fixed on him. Let's read from verse 46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck the house, but it could not but shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. I feel like when Jesus uses illustrations of good foundations, he did it to help people like us here in Dalby understand what he was talking about. I'm sure a lot of you have had problems with your house moving, that door that doesn't close properly, the cracks in the wall that keep popping up. And if you're not sure what I mean, just have a go at closing the doors in the foyer here at church. If you're going to build something in Dalby, you need to have a good foundation. It's so important to have a good foundation. And Jesus says it's the same for our lives. Jesus questions the disciples and the crowd, "Why do you call me Lord but not do what I say?" It appears that many people are saying the right things, but they're not putting Jesus' words into practice. Jesus helps us see why it is important. For the person that redefines their life because of Jesus, they will be like the man who builds his house on a good foundation of rock. When the kingdom of God comes to completion, they'll stand strong and not be shaken. While they might have had an unsatisfied life here, they will have a great reward in heaven because their foundation is in Jesus. But for the person who might call Jesus Lord, but does nothing to put it into practice and keeps living their life for this world, their life will have no foundation. And when the kingdom of God comes to completion, they'll have nothing to look forward to. Even worse than that, their destruction will be complete. These words from Jesus are challenging, calling us to examine our lives and where we are chasing the pleasures of this world, because they will only stop us from following him and lead us on a path of complete destruction. It's worth giving up pleasures of this world to be in Jesus, because a foundation in him means we will not be shaken in the end. If you're someone here this morning who isn't a follower of Jesus, I want you to know Jesus isn't promising that if you follow him, everything will be great here and now. Life will still be hard at times and unsatisfying, but what he does promise is that a life of following him will leave us with a good foundation. And so much more than this world can ever offer when we get to be with him in heaven. Jesus redefines God's people, who they are and what they look like. And while that might mean we'll be unsatisfied, we can be excluded, we could be poor in this world because of him, we can look forward to an eternity in heaven with Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for making it possible for us to be a part of your people. Thank you that through Jesus, we can have a strong foundation in you. Help us to look past the pleasures of this world and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen.